I encourage everyone to think of ways to do so, because Black Lives Matter, because everyone's lives matter. But you can't say everyone's lives matter because you'd be diluting the message. You have to say Black Lives Matter because that's what's happening right now. That's whose house is on fire. That's who we need to have solidarity with. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Betty Lynn's on the air.
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
I want to add something to what the last caller spoke about stolen elections. And I agree. I want to amplify. I'm wondering what nobody is mentioning, and that is the 15th Amendment guarantees us the right to vote. And if our vote isn't counted, then...
It is a crime.
Yes, it is. And why is nobody talking about this, and why is nobody demanding recourse?
Because we're not educated. You know, speaking of, Greg Pallas is going to be on the air top of the hour with Chris Andre.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he'll be here.
I will listen.
Well, he'll be on the air anyway. He'll be on the phone.
I emailed Senator Merkley because he passed the Lautenberg law, which governs toxic chemicals, which is very timely.
Yes.
So what is there something you can suggest we can do to get out the word about this violation of the 15th Amendment? Because the thieves are just benefiting from their actions. It's wrong.
Yes. Well, we need to have awareness. The Associated Press, as you know, came out, what was it, day before yesterday or Monday, I think they said, and said, Clinton has won.
Yeah.
And this is something that they'd made up.
What?
She hadn't won. What they said is they had made a private poll of the superdelegates and it concluded that it was all over and that Clinton had won. And this is a very transparent attempt to throw the California vote. And when the Associated Press is an association of press, and when they get together and do that, then what that means is that the corporate media is so corrupt and is so uniformly corrupt that a vote can be taken and within amongst them, and they can come up with this sort of, well, you know, that in itself was an act of corruption, an anti-democratic act. So the Associated Press is now acting exactly opposite to, you know, their mandate as journalists. They are comforting the comfortable and afflicting the afflicted. They've got it backwards. And so it was a sad day when that happened. I think it was, if Ben Bagdikian was still alive, he could have predicted it and said, yeah, I told you so. And so here we are. But we do have growing news organizations like KBOO, and we are becoming increasingly multimedia. So I would like to ask you and everyone listening to me to think of someone that you know who's never heard of KBOO and tell them about KBOO, tell them about KBOO Public Affairs. I mean, and that's just part of what we do here. I mean, there's the pleasure of hearing the music on KBOO and the other programming. So if each one can reach one, that'll boost us and that'll increase our funding and that'll do something against this monopoly media manipulation.
That's a good suggestion.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Bye.
Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And Brian's on the air.
Oh, hi, Teresa.
Hi, Brian.
Glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, I'm glad you're feeling better. Here we are, a couple of crips.
Up, but, you know, it's getting a bit better every day. Anyway, a couple of things, and I'll try and be succinct. You know, the Democratic Party, as it is now, you know, as per Hillary Clinton, is to me a blue dog Democratic Party. I call them Dempublicans because, like Kurt Schrader, who's our representative over here, he votes for the Republicans 65% of the time. And, you know, of course, the Republicans have moved so far right, they're off the chart. But I think you're stuck with a blue dog Democratic Party, and I really wish people wouldn't be so afraid to form a socialist party in this country. I mean, it's the only way that this mess is going to get sorted out.
Well, I think I see the beginnings of that. I mean, there was a comment a month ago that Bernie Sanders has now a list of millions of voters across the United States, which he didn't have before he ran. And he does intend to use that. And that's a very powerful tool. And so
generated enough interest and moved a lot of people educated a lot of people, especially the youth, of which is kind of part of our hope. Just to move on to the nuclear thing, I used to work with a nuclear engineer on a huge water treatment plant, and he'd have to change to civils. You talk about corrupt. He was fired. He used to work for Westinghouse, and he was fired for pointing out, you know, anomalies in the drawings and specs and things that just didn't work. And he was fired, and they went ahead and built it again anyway. And I think Fukushima is probably reflecting that. You know, I liked your description before about stuffing something down a pressure tank, and the only way you could get it in was that it was broken. So this is what most nuclear plants are like, and the whole industry is insane. But that was a real revelation to me, this one guy. You know, he got fired for telling the truth.
Oh, so yeah. I mean, they don't like the truth getting out. I saw, you know, what you said reminded me of something that I just want to repeat, because I don't know where else you can get the information. I was digging into nuclear power plants many, many years ago, and was actually in a library, a very extensive library at the University of Texas. They used to have amazing libraries. I don't know how they are now. And saw a diagram, which was shocking, and it has to do with this emergency core coolant. I mean, not only is the emergency core coolant not technically functional unless the reactor is broken, but the reactor is likely to break if it is used because of what they call a hot-cold shutdown and nuclear embrittlement. And here's the thing that I found out about embrittlement that I haven't seen elsewhere, and I don't know if people know about it. The reactor vessels are huge steel things, and they're slightly rounded on both ends. And they reflect the radiation in such a way that it is most intense, it is very intense, right about, I can't remember if it's two-thirds up or two-thirds down, but there's a point at which the radiation is focused for embrittlement. So the things are just, they're dangerous, and they should be shut down now, because we're going to have earthquakes, we're going to have floods, and, I go about that.
Now they're going to get, Obama has just approved the construction of 6 in India. God knows how that's going to work out, because that's a pretty corrupt country. I mean, I love India and Indian food, but you know, the government is, you know, they're open to the highest bidder, kind of like they are here. And also, I was once offered a job at Hanford as a cleanup supervisor, and part of the job was to spread propaganda that everything was fine, and I couldn't do that, you know.
Ain't afraid of no dose, dude. Oh, yeah, I remember.
I mean, we've got that leaching into the Columbia and Fukushima on the other side of the Pacific, and it's kind of like being caught in those toxic pincers, you know. Anyway, you and I and Gabe will just have to keep doing our own propaganda for good.
Down with toxic pincers, and up with whiskey.
Yeah, hey, I'll dip one for you tonight.
All right, then.
By the way, as I say, come over, drop in any time next time you're at the...
What, the whole audience?
Well, you and Annie and whatever.
Why,
anybody,
thank you.
From Cable,
thank you very much.
Per Fagring knows where we live.
Just had to tease you.
Okay, see ya.
Hey, thanks for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187, and Ken is on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, was that an invitation to drop in for a drink? Or
it sounded that way, didn't it?
Well, follow up on that. But also, I'd just like to point out that Obama has proposed this so-called $1 trillion upgrade of the nuclear weapons. But at the same time, I read that they've put off funding the cleanup of the Hanford site because of the cost of it, which is significantly less than $1 trillion.
And he goes to Hiroshima and refuses to quite exactly apologize. Doesn't that just say exactly what his role is? He's the chief face. He's the chief friendly, smiling face on the deep state.
Well, speaking of the bomber, what do you think about his saying that they're going to postpone any investigation of Hillary's use of a private server till after the election?
I'm shocked, I tell you.
Okay, well, here's the other thing. I don't know if you read Ray McGovern, you know, Veterans International. He wrote a letter recently saying that he had signed by Tom Drake and Bill Binney and so on and so forth. That of course the NSA must have intercepted all our emails as well, which is kind of an interesting thought.
Hackers across the world intercepted her emails.
Yeah, but I mean, if everything that she may have sent out, they have a record of, and so the so-called 30,000 emails that got erased, they no doubt have stored someplace, which is kind of interesting to think what the NSA might do with that if she were to become president.
To the barricades.
All right,
je suis choqué. Have we gone from jacuzzi to jacuzzi? We've got to turn that around.
Yeah, I like that. The last comment is that around April 30th, James Comey, the FBI, said that the FBI is investigating the Clinton Foundation as a criminal enterprise, and that went right down the old rabbit hole.
Whoops.
Disappeared from the mainstream media.
Memory holes, we call them. Okay, anyway. Thank you very much for your call.
No, thank you. Bye.
Number call 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. A lot of news items today. From Radio Havana, university students in Honduras capital Tegucigalpa wrapped up the 36-hour protest on Tuesday when they allowed access to the campus they had occupied for nearly 2 days as their latest move in a wave of actions demanding high-level reforms at the university and an overhaul of rising tuition costs. You can find that at radiohc.cu, or you could just listen to me on an ordinary radio receiver which the NSA can't track. Students seized the National Autonomous University of Honduras, known as UNA, in central Tegucigalpa on Monday morning, ramping up protests that kicked off last week and forcing the university to shut down while the students occupied buildings and faced off with police. That's because the administration had messed with their ability to graduate, and they were mad about it. And I bring it up partly just to point you to Radio Havana Cuba English broadcast, but also to point out that that was extremely brave, because Tegucigalpa is mostly a U.S. military base. I mean, the biggest institution there is the base there on the, east side of town. And you get killed doing this sort of thing in Tegucigalpa. So, you know, good luck and best hopes for safety to them. Roxanne is on the air.
Hi, Teresa. Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter. Thank you very much.
I believe Hillary's going to win. I'm not going to be voting for her. And it's just going to sicken me that women are going to cry, you know, maybe the world will cry and hug, you know, over the fact that a woman's going to run the country. And I would like for a woman to run the country, but not her. I don't understand why we're all supposed to be together and support her when you just look at her life and she stays with this cheating husband. I never hear anybody bring up the lawsuit where she represented the rapist of a 12-year-old girl, and then she laughed about it later when he passed his lie detector test, because she no longer believed in lie detector tests, she said. There's something right there Bernie can throw out, and he just won't do it.
I had been unaware of that story.
That.
Well, I had found her.
Please look it up.
I'm sorry?
Please look it up.
Okay.
Look it up online.
I will do that. Thank you.
It happened in Arkansas.
Okay, so that would be maybe 70s or 80s.
Right.
Okay. Well, I had not found the fact of her gender as sufficient motivation to support her. But I do want to embrace complexity and say that, okay, at this point she appears to be an inevitability. That's not necessarily true, because she might get taken down by the FBI. I don't know what they're going to do. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think she's going to be as good for women as Obama was for black people. Look how good Obama was for black people.
Yeah, well, and, you know, like I say, embrace complexity. I mean, obviously, the incarceration state marches on. And yet, having a black face in the White House was a powerful thing. And I'm sorry, I just want to complete the sentence that the fact that a black face in the White House was a good thing. It is a good thing. It will always be a good thing. It has repercussions. And obviously, you know, we were had. And I think that there will be a similar dynamic. I think you're right with a woman in the White House. It's a, you know, it's a gesture that will not necessarily produce any sort of results.
I agree. Yeah, I'm scared too. I'm scared with you.
I mean,
thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Well, you know, speaking of looking things up, I mean, she and her good buddy Victoria Nuland have already, and it's just, it sounds outrageous to even say it because people don't know about it. They have risked nuclear war with Russia to the point that Russia actually had one of their Tupolev bombers off the coast armed with cruise missiles just to make the point that, hello, we're still here and we still have nuclear weapons and you can't go mucking about with our territory and on our borders in the way that you have. And that's such a long story because... As I was saying, that story simply hasn't been told in the U.S. And when people point out that the people that the U.S. and Victoria Nuland and Hillary Clinton were supporting were Nazis, and I don't say the word lightly, boy, were they enthusiastic Nazis. Murderous criminal gangs of Nazis in Ukraine, on the border. That fight is still going on, and it's just absolutely blanked out from the U.S. press and therefore from the minds of the public. And that's why anyone could think it is legitimate to vote for a competent manager of the deep state, which that's how I view Hillary Clinton. She knows what she's doing. You know, she's, and we're going to give her a nuclear football. And oh my God, oh my God. Time is 9:48. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I want to express my gratitude once again for the opportunity to go on community radio to express my opinions, to bring up news using the World Wide Web and the 25,000-watt transmitter up there on the hill and all the other transmitters that we have. It's part of community. I am honored and grateful to get a chance to do it. I'm just so glad to be here, and I'm having a ripping time. Are you? Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Jerry's on the air.
Yeah, hi, Teresa.
Hi.
A couple of quick things. KBOO is quite the treasure, and I admire and respect your bravery constantly. Second thing, Black Lives Matter. I came up with an analogy that, you know, starving people representing black lives are saying starving people need food, and other people responding saying, you know, in effect, all lives matter. Saying,
all people need food.
All people need food, yeah.
So it's not just those starving people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. While they're sitting at their dinner table, you know, starving. All people need food. So the other thing is, I don't know if you talked about it yet, bomb trains, the oil train accident, watching the mainstream media coverage, it was like, yeah, one train exploded. And then lately, I think it's been five, and 40,000 some gallons of oil have spilled, and the water aquifer has been drained trying to put out the fire. Anyway, the coverage, that's going to be a huge thing. I mean, we're going to have to stop those trains.
Well, and they roll probably right through town, too. I mean,
yeah,
it's like the little train that had to say, I think I can, to go up the hill, is now going, I told you so.
Yeah, and this was on a straight piece of track, I've heard, and they were going relatively slowly. But anyway, there's going to be a lot of arrests and other issues with law enforcement and, you know, and all this stuff is going to sort of converge because this has got to stop in the Northwest. We've got to stop all these trains, the coal and oil and fossil fuel terminals, all that stuff. That's got to end.
I quite agree.
It's going to take a lot of hardcore civil disobedience. And thank you again for all you do.
Thanks for calling in. Number to call to talk on this program, Press Watch on KBOO Portland, is 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Marshall is on the air.
Hello, Teresa.
Hello.
Hi. This is Marshall from Beaverton, and I've been scanning the news since Sunday night when the lights went out in Beaverton to find out if anybody said anything about that in the news media. At about 11:15 on Sunday night, there was no light, no electricity.
How long?
It lasted until, as I ultimately discovered, till 1:15 a.m.
Huh.
And so for a couple of hours, you don't know how long it's going to be or why it is, and people are walking around with flashlights. And it was 73,000 customers, I discover, were affected, and there's still no mention. Now, when this kind of thing happens, there should, it seems to me, be some kind of resource, some sort of access. I have found you can call PG&E. If you have an access to a phone, that the landlines were dead, too.
Okay, I want to give credit where credit is due. Let's see, apparently this is covered by Oregon Live and by KATU. Man's excessive allergy sneeze leads to crash into power pole. So you just got sneezed.
How's that?
Let's see. It looks like a Zoomy car, maybe a Camaro, hit a power pole when the man was sneezing.
I see.
Knocked the power out.
I see. Well, thank you very much. I've just now discovered on Thursday.
Okay.
What happened on Sunday. And so when something like that happens, I don't know where to turn to. I guess you have to have a cell phone, number one, and you've got to be able to get to something like PG&E.
Times have changed, and you know, I have to admit, I'm not quite up to speed. I'm just kind of learning to use Twitter that way. You can get news items on Twitter if you know where to look. If you get a certain news organizations on your Twitter feed, there's a way to do it, and I'm not the expert on that. But
I checked all radio stations, AM and FM. I did call KBOO, and the man did answer there, and he was very nice and suggested I call 911 announcing this was not an emergency, and had them, and they mentioned calling PG&E. Well, there it goes. So thanks a lot, and I appreciate the info now.
Okay, thanks for calling in.
Okay,
number to call, 503-231-8187. Don't call 911 if it's not an emergency. Joe is on the air.
Good morning. By the way, you can tell the Californians because they call it PG&E instead of PGE, which is Portland General Electric, and a lot of people call them pigs, greed, extortion. But, hey, about you guys mentioned Hanford and the Columbia River. I read in an article in the Sunday Oregonian back in 1998, I remember this very vividly, where it said the scrub brush growing along the banks of the Columbia River at the high water level mark had radioactive cesium-137 and americium-141.
Oh, yeah, how could it not?
On the,
241.
Huh?
What's americium-241, yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm just...
americium-141, but anyway, it doesn't matter. It's all radioactive, and it shouldn't be in the river. And then there was a local cable access. If anybody cares to look this up, they can maybe find it. There used to be a local cable access show called The Water Spot. It originated out of Tualatin Valley Community Television. Their website is tvctv.org, and it's called The Water Spot. There was two different ladies that ran it. Kathy Newcomb started it originally, and then she handed it over to another lady. But they did at least two to three different shows, two one-hour-long shows, and when the other lady took it over, they cut it down to a half an hour, where it was the subject was Hanford and the Columbia River, and one of them was a scientist from the State of Oregon Radiation Department, and they had all kinds of maps and charts and graphs and showing the overhead of aerial photographs overlaid over a map showing the radiation plumes, but underground radiation plumes, but that's been leaking into the Columbia River since even before we knew about Hanford, because you and I have only known about Hanford since about 1942, knew about that it got started in 42.
Oh, nobody mentioned it until after the war, sure, because it was a state secret.
Well, we don't know anything about its existence prior to 1942. I ran into a student who is studying to work at a nuclear power plant. just by happenstance, and he said, no, it's actually started out in about 1938 up there. But anyway, so they've been radiating the Columbia River for close to 80 years now. So, but the, the other thing regarding Hillary, there's a guy by the name of, what is his name? He's kind of a, just a mouthpiece for the so-called conservatives. But he writes for WorldNet Daily, I guess. I don't know because I don't have internet and I've never been to his website, but I hear him come on to, he gets interviewed, Jerry Corsi, that's his name. He gets interviewed by George Snorri on Coast to Coast, and he's coming out with some kind of a tell-all book that'll really, it'll be like the doo-doo hitting the fan, so to speak. They didn't say it that way, but that's my interpretation of it.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that information. I am running out of time here at the top of the hour. This is Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Thanks for calling in. From the NAACP Justice Fact Sheet, from 1980 to 2008, the number of people incarcerated in America quadrupled. From roughly 500,000 to 2.3 million people today, the U.S. is 5% of the world population, has 25% of world prisoners. Combining the number of people in prison and jail with those under parole and probation supervision, one in every 31 adults, or 3.2% of the population, incredibly, is under some form of correctional control. African Americans now constitute nearly 1 million of the total 2.3 million incarcerated population. African Americans are incarcerated at nearly 6 times the rates of whites. And here's an example. In California, Black Lives Matter activist Jasmine Richards faces up to 4 years in prison at her sentencing after she was convicted of a rarely used statute in California law known up till recently as felony lynching. And the latest from New York Daily News on her case is Black Lives Matter organizer who interfered with an arrest by police in Southern California has been sentenced to 90 days in jail. Jasmine Richard convicted of trying to take a person from the lawful custody of a peace officer. Now, I have engaged in taking a person from the legal custody of a police officer, lawful custody of a police officer. His name was Ken. It was during the invasion of Panama. And I, being white, was never called for it. We just, we sort of talked the cop out of it, come think of it. Anyway, coming up at 10 o'clock, Greg Palast is going to be on the air with Chris Andre. You'll want to stay tuned for that. This is Press Watch going out to you via the transmitter on the hill, our red and white Eiffel Tower up there on the West Hills at 25,000 watts, and also going out to you to the world via KBOO.FM, and in that manner to all the ships at sea.
And good morning. It is KBOO Portland, your community radio station. 1 minute now before 10 o'clock. In 15 minutes, join us for Flashpoints. Where does Bernie Sanders go from here? Also, the weekly election protection bulletin with Greg Palast. And a look at major breakthroughs in the use of non-psychoactive cannabis for medical use with journalist Martin Lee. At 11 on Between the Covers, we speak with Daniel Dutton about her novel Margaret the First, which dramatizes the life of Margaret Cavendish, the eccentric and creative 17th century Duchess. And at 11:30 on Words and Pictures, the guest is Kathy Zielinski, the pioneering artist and filmmaker who's been called the Queen of Animated Villains. But up next, it's Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary. Hey, thanks KBOO members for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
Lanita Duke is back on the air, so join me at listener-supported KBOO Community Radio on Sunday, June 12th from 8 p.m. until 10, as we celebrate the music of Miss Roberta Flack while analyzing the 2016 Portland City Council race. Sunday night, June 12th from 8 p.m. until 10 on community-supported KBOO. 'Cause you-